Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Elodie Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Monday, December 5th, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
I'm Elodie.
Well, it was just another brutal day for gold, although it did have a semi-decent recovery. But again, the story is you had the stocks climbed again since the November 8 election and hit new intraday highs, and with further gains in oil prices and belief that the economy is strong and getting or will be stronger under the new president-elect Donald Trump. So the Dow has actually topped all the other major indexes since the election. Goldman Sachs today, they rose 2%. I should be saving this until we do the market report in the paper. I think I will. Let's do gold first. You have gold down 720 right now in the New York spot price after market at 1170.90. You have silver down 2 pennies at 1681. And just to let you know about the recovery in gold, we did show a low of 1157. So it did have a nice turnaround. And basically, we had a high of 1177, so again down 720 on the day at 11790. Platinum, though, was higher, up 6 at $939, along with palladium. That was also up 4 at $748. The USDX today was slightly weaker, down 0.52 at 100.14. Crude oil, even though it was up earlier in the day, it did turn around to 0.65, not much, but still at 51.03. And the paper markets today, as I mentioned, the Dow pretty much has beaten the other major indexes. There's 30 stocks in there, so it's not that difficult. Goldman Sachs today rose 2%. Touched their highest numbers in 9 years after HSBC initiated coverage with a buy rating and a $250 price target. Well, yeah, you got Goldman Sachs people everywhere in the White House, so why wouldn't they go up? And it was, you know, what I thought. You had the Dow. Let's see, where are my numbers here? I think they were up. Here we go. Dow was up 45 points, 19,216. The NASDAQ up 53 at 5,308. The S&P up 12 at 2204. 10-year yield, 2.39%. Euro did get stronger, 1.08. And didn't matter what the referendum and with Mario, or well, not Mario, but with Renzi dropping out, resigning, supposedly that announcement is supposed to come this evening. European markets were higher, so it was kind of like, well, good riddance to you. I don't know what it is. There isn't anything that makes sense anymore. But some of the big tech names today lifted the S&P and helped the NASDAQ both do well today. It's interesting, Amazon, they rose 2.5%. As it said, it's going to open a brick-and-mortar grocery store in Seattle without lines or checkout counters. And I mean, the world just gets more and more bizarre, but I think this is kind of like
lines or checkout counters.
Both, yeah. And it's kind of like similar to like if you're on the freeway and they have the easy passes where you can just go through and they clock you and then they bill your credit card and so forth. I think it's kind of the same thing. They launched a shop. You just go in. It's an 1,800 square foot retail space. It's located in Seattle, as I have mentioned. And you just go in if you want to pick up a sandwich, and you just walk out. Not only will you be charged once you've left the shop, courtesy of the Amazon Go app that you'll need to install on your smartphone, you'll also have sacrificed your privacy for a speedy sandwich shopping experience. Well, these kids today, all these people that are, you know, all love tech. They don't care about their privacy.
Well, they're going to care plenty when the hackers figure out that whatever this Go card is that they're using in the grocery store.
Right. The Go app, yeah.
It'll also work for taking money out of your bank account and moving it to the hacker's account. I mean, this just makes me laugh. This is just, it's interesting.
They say it's the same types of technology used in self-driving cars, computer vision, sensor fusion, and deep learning, Amazon explains.
And political sense and political predictions of who's going to win the election.
Yeah. Are just walk
same
out.
Technology.
Our Just Walk Out technology automatically detects when products are taken from or returned to the shelves and keeps track of them in a virtual cart. When you are done shopping, you just leave the store. And it will keep inventory.
They'll still have a greeter there, right?
No.
There'll still be some
nothing.
Guy 70 years old?
Nope.
That
nope.
means I have no chance of getting a job there.
Nope. There's no one there. You just go in. You'll find well-known brands. There will be special finds that they're going to introduce to customers for a quick home-cooked dinner. You can pick up one of their chef-designed Amazon meal kits. They should rename it, but the Amazon meal kits with all the ingredients you need to make a meal for two in about 30 minutes. So,
and have R2-D2 pot roast.
Possibly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Better than Amazon. But Amazon rose 2.5%. And U.S. services sector activity hit a one-year high in November with a surge in production, boosting hiring. And, of course, this came out on the heels of Friday's employment report that showed, somewhat of strong job gains last month. The ISM, the service survey, covers a range of industries. Few of them are retail, healthcare, agriculture, construction. 14 industries, including farming, retail, entertainment, and transportation, expanded in November. The real estate, rental, leasing sector, along with public administration, they contracted. And the ISM's factory production gauge jumped to 61.7. That's the highest since October of 2015, from 57.7. And, of course, anything above 50 is what they're looking for. So, again, good news. What's confusing people? I've talked to a lot of clients today.
See, the news is good, the reality is not so good. That's the problem.
Having
trouble trying to adjust
exactly.
our perception of reality to our perception of the news. There's a little bit of a conflict here.
It's
making a schizophrenic melody.
But people are confused and they're concerned because, there are reasons why they purchase gold and silver doesn't seem to make a difference when we all know what that reality is. And it's difficult to predict dates, but yet, sometimes you do have to predict a date as we see things as they should change and affect the prices of gold and silver. So you cannot become discouraged at these prices. You should take advantage of the lower prices because the reality of it hasn't changed. And again, when we see these markets move in these bizarre fashions when in reality they shouldn't, again, it tells me just how dysfunctional that these markets are and that they're really not markets whatsoever. It's huge funds, huge amounts of money.
Special effects.
You have governments that are coming in and buying these markets. I mean, look at Italy. I think I don't know if their markets were down a little bit, but hey, their banking system's still withheld. Europe still showed more positives than negative, and their banks are about ready to, blow up. You have a 5 billion euro, which is a 5.33 billion rescue plan for the Italian bank, Monte dei Paschi di Siena. So, everyone is expecting that to basically go under, and particularly after the Prime Minister Renzi's defeat in his referendum and his pledge to resign. He is, as I mentioned earlier, expected to formally tender his resignation later today. This world's oldest bank is saddled with 46 billion euros of bad loans. They need to raise the money by the end of the month to avoid being wound down. But investors are reluctant to back the cash call after Renzi said he would quit following the voters' rejection. So no one really knows what's going to be going on. Monte di Paschi rated the weakest lender in European stress tests this summer.
Well, the significance of Renzi quitting probably means that they're not going to be able to get the $5 billion out of either the European Central Bank or, I don't know, but they had a plan here where they had planned to try to raise some of the capital from investors, but that was pretty much conditional on Renzi being reelected and they said, and some of these investors apparently were willing to take a gamble and say, okay, we'll invest in the bank, because Renzi is going to get 5 billion euros out of European Central Bank or whoever is the source of charity money, whatever, in Europe. But if Renzi's there, he can get the 5 billion, and the investment in the bank right now, while it's in trouble, it maybe turn a profit. But if Renzi's not there, they're not going to get the 5 billion from the European Central Bank or some outside, or Germany or wherever. It is at least unlikely, and therefore what's the point to investing your good capital in the bank's bad stock at this point in time? It becomes, you know, improbable. And the other thing they've got, they talk about, they could try to get it out of the European Central Bank, for example.
Nope.
They could also try bail-ins from people,
exactly,
that are customers of the banks. And they say, why don't you give us half of whatever you've deposited in our bank so we can keep the bank running?
What's interesting now?
They might not be asking for half, but they could be asking for, who knows, 10%, 20%, I don't know.
What's interesting, they're already expecting, if this private recapitalization plan fails, the Italian government is already expected to step in and pump the public money into the bank just to avoid a crisis. Now, my question is, why wouldn't you be pulling your money out like today? But I think a lot of these banks in Italy have already had restrictions placed on them to keep people, to keep people from withdrawing their funds. So to prevent any type of bail runs. But so it's already expected that if the plan fails to recapitalize the bank, hey, they're already expecting the government to pump in public money. So it's not that much of a shocker.
There's a guy named Umberto Borghesi, who's a fund manager at Albemarle Asset Management in Italy. And he said, no political formation can shoulder the responsibility of Monte Paschi failing. Okay, what he's saying is this bank is too big to fail. And he's saying, when he says no political formation, he means no newly formed government can allow the bank to fail. Well, that's probably true, but what political formation, that is to say, what new Italian government, can shoulder the responsibility of giving 5 billion euros to the Monte dei Paschi di Siena Bank? I mean, okay, is that bank really too big to fail? Is Italy or the European Central Bank really big enough to cough up $5 billion to support the Monte dei Paschi bank, and how many more billions will be required to shore up the other seven banks that are believed to also be in great financial stress? If European Central Bank really prints enough additional euros to support all eight of the troubled Italian banks, will those extra euros contribute to significant inflation? They point out that UniCredit, Italy's biggest banks, they need 13 billion. The bank that's going under right at the moment, the bank du jour, the bank collapse du jour, they need 5 billion euros. But the next one, the next one on the list, needs 13 billion euros. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, there's got to be something like a limit somewhere along the line.
Where they can't keep
pumping more currency without creating more trouble than they've already got.
Not as long as you have public money to play with.
Well, if you print more, you're going to cause inflation.
Well, Well, they all want inflation. The European Central Bank bought a record monthly amount of assets under its quantitative easing program in November. And all they're trying to do is to front load purchases before any market liquidity can dry up during the holiday season. Well, you know, I think that was, you know, they were planning on, you know, front loading these purchases in case of this referendum. You know, with any problems with that. So, you know, they're already pre-planning. The ECB bought a total of 85.4 billion euros, which is 91 billion in dollars.
Well, but, then it does 85, sound like they're getting ready to
They bought a total of 85 billion euros of debt last month, even as the pace of purchases of government
now,
bonds.
Now, let me be sure. Let me see what let's see if I understand this correctly. They bought 85 billion of probably corporate debt, and they're buying corporate bonds, corporate stocks, whatever. They paid 85 billion. You're not saying they paid to produce another 85 billion in euros. You're saying they spent 85 billion in euros to buy corporate bonds, government bonds, corporation stock, whatever.
They bought
they're
debt.
Buying those debt interest.
They're buying debt.
I guess. And they're paying full price in order to support, or probably, I'm assuming, they're paying full price or pretty close
together.
To support the illusion that the market is still solid and stable. But odds are, if the only place you can sell your stock is to your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law, they're the only ones willing to pay full price for it, odds are your stock is not worth the price that it's that you're asking on the market. If the free market will pay that price, fine. But if you have to go to the European Central Bank or to the Federal Reserve to sell your stocks, your bonds, whatever, and get full price, it's good evidence that your stocks and bonds are significantly overpriced.
This is a prime example of a central bank going in, buying these assets prior to a deadline that we've seen December 4th when there was big news on the referendum. So they were pre-setting up the markets to make sure that they didn't fall. And the early morning reports that I was listening to, they were saying, oh, yeah, well, look at these markets. Europe's not so bad. Hey, Germany was up 1.6%. You know, they were in there buying these markets just to keep them to make sure that that confidence and everyone stays happy and nothing matters anymore. There isn't any reality to anything. None of these markets are real. The only reality is gold and silver. But here's perfect point where it just goes to show what these countries do, what these central banks do, and they've done it here, they've done it there, they've done it elsewhere, and they will do it until that public money is no longer available to them. That means they have taken what they can take from the public.
Well, they're going to keep on doing it till they quit doing it. And we're going to quit doing it for a moment here while we take a couple of commercials. And Melody and I will be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom, and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
We're going to continue the specials now that gold and silver are back up. And that's one thing about offering a smaller fractional piece in a special. Price doesn't move. The price on the, you pay a little bit more for a smaller coin, but you need to have some really big swings in the spot price of gold in order for it to affect the performance of a coin. And that's why I like to put little smaller fractional pieces in my packages, because it maintains the overall pricing of the package. So the $1,700 special is still priced at $1,700, and it includes the Type 1 gold dollar. Most of them are dated. I have them here. They have 1851s, 1852s, 1853s, or just some of the dates that I have here. They are AU gold dollars. We also have a AU $20 Liberty gold pieces, and we also have an uncirculated peace dollar, brilliant uncirculated, and they are beautiful. And if you want a tube of 20 of them, we can, you know, put that in there for you too. We'll price it out separately if you're looking for more than just one. But the package does include one brilliant uncirculated peace dollar, and of course the modern issue American Silver Eagle, a 2016, and that will be included with a special Merry Christmas packaging. And that will be with the Silver Eagle only. And, of course, they're great for stocking stuffers. Christmas is just around the corner. So if you'd like to get a little, not only do you get a great little package with your gold and silver peace dollar, but you also have a little Christmas gift in there included for someone that you care about and would like to show them just what a silver American Eagle is all about. And that's how people learn, by sharing and by educating how important our real money is. So $1,700 for the complete package. I'll keep the price the same as long as I can. I do expect prices to continue higher later on in the month. So 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter.
An article from the Chicago Sun-Times. We've talked a little about these pension problems they're having in Chicago. And again, Chicago Sun-Times headline is Witching Hour Fast Approaching for 10,000 City City Retirees. Witching Hour is fast approaching for thousands of Chicago's oldest retired city employees, barring an 11th hour legal rescue. On December 31st, Mayor Rahm Emanuel will complete a 3-year phase-out of the city's retiree health care program, including a 55% subsidy. All right? Now, that's pretty extraordinary. Rahm Emanuel, a Democrat, is going to phase out the city's retiree health care program. He'll complete it, and this includes a 55% subsidy that's going to be terminated. The controversial move is aimed at saving Chicago taxpayers $107 million in annual costs that would have ballooned to $307 million.
He needs it to protect the sanctuary city. But anyway, go ahead.
Could be. It says saving, the intent was to save Chicago taxpayers. All right? And I am normally skeptical of any government claiming, oh, we're going to save the taxpayers some money.
That's what politicians say.
Well, they say it all the time. And they're saying it here, but maybe it's even true. Again, $107 million in annual costs, it would have ballooned to $307 million by 2018 and $541 million by 2023. All right? That's annual. That in order to support the retirement of these 10,000 city retirees, and we're talking a collection here of, I don't know, $400 million a year, maybe say $300 million a year average over a period of, translate into about 7 years. I think you're talking about $2 billion. Can't be done, and it's consistent again. My standard little theme: what can't be paid won't be paid. It can't be paid, and that's what we're looking at. It means that roughly 10,000 city employees who started working for the city before April 1st, 1986, and do not qualify for Medicare, will be on their own to search for coverage that will be difficult or too expensive to find. They'll be forced to choose between exorbitant premiums that in some cases are double their retirement checks, or go without health coverage at a time when they need it most because of their age and declining health. Clint Krisloff, a lawyer for the retirees, noted that the city is referring non-Medicare eligible retirees to a Blue Cross Blue Shield program with a monthly cost of either $1,300 or $1,500 for single coverage, $2,300 or $2,600 for a couple, and $3,000 to $3,600 for family coverage. I mean, we're getting a couple of, and it also says the mayor's office had no immediate comment on this story. These people who are retiring, they're going to find out that all of a sudden they need, on a single basis, $1,300 to $1,500 to pay for their medical insurance. They won't get that out of the government. They're going to have to find a way of coming up with that on their own. That's an interesting, that's a significant expense for people that are no longer employed and presumably retired. Where are they going to find this? For a couple, $2,300 to $2,600 a month. Month for medical care. This is crazy. But you can see, this is another one of those examples of what will happen throughout America before we're done with this. I don't know how fast this is going to happen, but you're going to see more cities facing the same problems. A number of them are doing it right now. They don't have the money to fund their retirement programs. And the retirees are going to scream and shout and demand their money and demand that the taxpayers be forced to cough up the money that the politicians promised. And the taxpayers aren't going to be able to do it because they're barely getting by, too.
Well, you would think you would have a mass exodus of people in Chicago, considering what we read about the amount of crime that's going on in Chicago. Yes, there's a lot of wealth there and so forth, but we know wealthy people, I mean, the true wealth, they don't pay a lot in taxes. So, you would think that Chicago would be having a little difficult of a time but my question is, if they're paying $107 million now in annual costs, and that's going to balloon to $307 by 20 in 1 year, it's going to go from 107 to 307 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big increase for
year.
That's
$200 million in 1 year, and they're going to 541 by 20. What they say, 2023, which is another after next year, it would be another six years down the road or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's going to be rising the whole time.
Yeah, so I mean, those are huge jumps.
I understand. And it means, for sure, the numbers we're looking at right now, when they say, oh, it's going to cost an extra $1,300 to $1,500 for one person. Now, I guarantee those numbers are going to continue to rise. There's no way that the cost of the pension health care program is going to go up from 107 million a year total program to 207 or whatever it is, or 307, excuse me, rise by 200 million in a year's time, that something isn't also going to happen to increase, even if the price of health care right now is only $1,200 a month. By the end of 2017, you can expect
it to be $5,000.
Well, you can expect it to be $2,000 or more.
Much higher.
And it will continue to rise. And the one of the points we're getting to here is healthcare is no longer affordable for a lot of people.
Housing isn't affordable. Healthcare isn't affordable.
Food is becoming unaffordable.
And you know what's interesting is that they have a 55% subsidy.
Yeah.
That's huge. And you know what? It just goes to show that these cities, these states, they've all mismanaged the people's money. They promised things that they knew darn well could never be paid for.
There's the point. It wasn't just mismanagement.
You know, it was mismanagement. And it's, you know, it's, they promised things that
they could never produce. If they had any brains and they looked at it, they say, we can't do this. This is crazy.
And right? We're looking at a time when what? The stock market, their investments are reaching ultimate peaks. Short-lived, I might add, but still, they've had since 2008, going from, you know, 6,500 to 19,000 and probably the 20 before it reverses itself. So, yeah, I mean, so in a increasing, so no, to me, it is a lot of mismanagement when you see where a lot of those other funds are going to and so forth, just like we talked about a week or so ago in another city. You know, the funds are going to these areas, like, why? You know, what is more important? Their little personal agendas into various agencies, or, you know, the people who've, you know, they've promised these things to. A contract should be a contract, but we understand that it isn't. And it's the same with every other pension plan, no matter whether it's a city or a state or a corporation. Those contracts are made to be broken.
Well, there's a number of contracts that are going on at any one time. For example, if I were the mayor of Chicago and I was running some agreement with the Chicago municipal employees, and I said, I promise to give you, you're going to get a $5,000 a month pension when you retire in 20 years. Now, you don't have to pay for it. We'll get the idiot taxpayers to pay for it, see? And it's not just the taxpayers should have understood this was nonsense. The Chicago municipal employees, they didn't fall into this just because they're stupid. They also went into it because they were greedy. They were promised something for nothing. You put your time in now, and we'll see that you get paid big 20 years from now, 30 years from now. They were going to get something for nothing. And they said, well, we can screw the taxpayers and we'll get the money out of the taxpayers.
They misplaced their faith in their
trust. That's the other point. We have a trust going on. It's not simply a contract. It's a trust relationship. But the trust relationship between government and employees and government employees is also has to be balanced against the trust relationship that exists between government and people, ordinary people, taxpayers. And new people, kids coming up, what about the trust? We're saying, oh, we've got to maintain our trust to the senior citizens who are going to be beat out of their pensions, and we've got to bust our butt in order to give them money that they never earned. That will essentially be the argument from a bunch of, but what about the young kids that are coming up right now? Didn't we have a trust promise to them that we would maintain an economy where they could make enough money, where they could buy a home and get married and raise a family? What about our promise to them? And they weren't around. They didn't sit back and say, oh, yeah, we promised to pay these old people, you know, when they retire. They didn't promise that. They were too young to even understand what was going on. They trusted the government. They trusted their parents. They trusted the society to keep opportunity open for them where they could have a life too. Again, wife, kids, family, home. They had a shot at it. They're not going to get it. If they pay off on whatever promises were made to the retirees, it means that we're going to sacrifice a generation or more of young people in this country they're going to have to live in poverty and either not get married, not have children, or raise their children in poverty. So who gets, whose neck is going to be put on the block?
You know,
it won't be the politicians that made the promises, who should have known and had to know. This is nonsense. Can't be sustained.
And you know what? It's really sad because these people with their retirement checks, they said in some cases that these insurance premiums will be double their retirement checks.
Well,
so
no,
they're going to have to go without health care. And if you're at a time of retirement, you know, because of your age, eventually you're going to have declining health. And, hey, it's a good thing Obamacare has the death panels in there, right? You don't have to worry about declining health. The government will take care of it for you.
Mm-hmm.
You won't need it. This and property taxes. I mean, yes, there's a lot of taxes I have problems with, but it's just, and again, this is another situation that's just not happening in Chicago. It's happening everywhere. And if it hasn't happened to many people who already have the retirement checks, it's coming to you soon. You will be affected sooner or later.
Yeah, that's the point to all of this. I mean, you can see the system is based on irrational promises, which is what debts, well, not all debts are irrational, but what a debt is a promise to pay. We have a debt-based monetary system. It's based on promises to pay. We have a debt-based government, right? Promises to pay. They're out there. They run up a $20 trillion. That's the official level of national debt. The real level is probably multiples of that, but at least $20 trillion. It is all a promise to pay, right? And we're reaching a point where we can't keep all the promises. And I don't think we can keep more than 20% of the promises. I think ultimately we're gonna have to write off 80 to 90% of the promises will be written off. And it won't happen this week or this month or whatever, but I think ultimately that's where it's gonna go. And those people, and this is a fundamental theme on this program for a couple of years, those people who are saving their wealth, and by that I mean whatever they didn't spend that they earned based on the sweat and the effort and the labor that they put in, right? That was your wealth. You accumulated that. Well, if you're saving it in the form of a paper debt instrument, you can see from stories like this about the Chicago pension fund, and it'll happen in a bunch of cities besides that, you can see you don't want to get caught in paper. This is one of the reasons why you have to look around, in my opinion, and say, look, I need something tangible. I've got to store my wealth in something tangible, and our recommendation, of course, will be gold and silver. But if you're going to stick with paper, it's nothing but a promise to pay in a world where the promises can't be kept. Melody and I are going to take a break here for a couple of commercials, and we will be right back in just a moment. Please stay tuned to Financial Survival.
Won't you lay it on the line? I need to hear it just one more time.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Got an article here from Bloomberg. The headline is Gold Standard Approved for Islamic Finance, Opening New Markets. Now, this isn't precisely news. I'm sure some of you have heard about this before. And the idea is that the Muslims have been discouraged on a religious basis from investing in gold in gold or gold related investment products. They're changing that now. They've got some holy group has decided under Sharia law, they've imposed some additional Sharia compliant rules, but they're saying, okay, now you Muslims can buy some gold. And the argument a lot of people are making is that because we're essentially opening a new market to Muslims, and the result will be an increased demand for gold and, in theory, an increased price for gold. But there's more to this than just increasing the size of the market. The article says gold is acceptable for the first time as an investment in Islamic finance after the group that sets standards for the industry adopted Sharia-compliant rules for trading the metal. The rules approved November 19th. Allow gold to be used in the $1.9 trillion Islamic finance business. This is according to the Accounting and Auditing Organization for Islamic Financial Institutions, otherwise known as the AAOIFI. Now remember that, Melody, because it's going to probably turn up again in the story here. The AAOIFI developed the standards with the help from producer-funded World Gold Council, which has said that the new rules could spur demand for hundreds of tons of gold. Now, this is here. We're not talking about electronically traded funds here. Could spur the demand for hundreds of tons, not electronic ounces, but tons, and it implies they're talking about physical gold. The SPDR Gold Trust, the biggest exchange-traded fund backed by bullion, traded under the stock symbol GLD, will probably qualify. In other words, you could probably buy product under GLD, all right, if you're Islamic. And the standard may open a new demand for central banks. COMEX gold futures wouldn't qualify because of a physical backing requirement. Right? What they're saying here is the new rules for the Islamic, that allow Islamic investors to purchase gold, they've got to buy it from, there's got to be physical gold to back the sale. And because COMEX is not backed by physical gold, at least except for just a tiny fraction, less than 1%, if I understand correctly, there's less than 1 ounce for every 100. Actually, I think it's several hundred ounces of paper gold that are traded on COMEX. COMEX will not be acceptable. Paper gold will not be acceptable to the Muslims. Now, what this implies is we're going to set up a second market that will, at least the Muslims are going to lay a foundation for this, where you're going to be trading physical gold every single time. No paper gold. That's the implication here. The article continues. Natalie Dimstra, managing director of World Gold Council, said, "We fully expect to announce imminently that GLD does qualify physical gold bars and coins may also qualify, she said. We don't know if that's true. It seems like it has to be. But the rules require that a bank selling gold has to offer same-day settlement, meaning if I walk into the bank and say I want to buy $100,000 worth of gold, they can't sell it to me on some promise that they'll deliver it in 2 weeks or 2 months. If they're going to sell $100,000 worth of gold, they've got to produce $100,000 worth of physical gold today. Not tomorrow, not a month from now. You understand? And it goes on. It says same-day settlement or has to demonstrate that it can provide the exact gold being sold within 1 day. All right? The standard also applies to silver. What this implies is that these Muslim rules are going to force the creation of a gold market where people trade in physical gold. There'll be no electronic traded funds. There won't be any paper gold. That means we're going to see the markets we have at COMEX will get the paper gold price, which today could be, it is less than $1,200 an ounce, okay? But at the same time, once this Muslim market is established that deals only in physical gold, we're going to be again to find out what the price of physical gold is. Not the price of paper gold, which is being traded on COMEX, but the price of physical gold upon what may be, at least initially, a Muslim-dominated market, and whether it'll be Muslim or who knows who's going to dominate this. But if the Muslims can participate and they have to set up a market that actually trades in physical gold, this is going to be a change. This is going to lay the foundation for the possibility that people are going to say, what are you talking about? I can get gold from COMEX and it costs me $1,200 an ounce, or I can get it from these people and it costs me $2,500 an ounce. And they're going to say, yeah, but the gold from COMEX is paper gold, and the gold from this new market that they're establishing under Sharia-compliant laws is physical gold, real gold. Huh? I mean, we could see a price spread that will be the implications. We could see a price spread that would destroy the paper gold industry. It would show it up for what a fraud it really is, and people would say, hey, I want gold. I don't want paper. I don't want a promise to pay. I don't want a debt instrument. I want a payment. I want a settlement now, today. I'll give you $100,000 for gold. You give me $100,000 worth of physical gold. COMEX can't do it. We'll watch and see what happens. So in any case, this strikes me as an important article, an important insight, important, potential. And in theory, this is going to be set up sometime in 2017. This will become real in 2017. So maybe good things are headed our way, or at least good things in my opinion. Do you agree with me, Melody?
Well, I think this is interesting, and we'll have to see how it works, and it's possible. The problem is, and it surprises me, but even the GLDs, there's always been questions as to the amount of how much gold is actually there. They're not audited. They can buy it whenever they need to buy it and so forth. So, again, we never know how much gold is actually there. So, in my view, it's still kind of, sort of.
No, there's like, still some wiggle room on this.
There's still sort of like paper trading.
Yeah, there's,
and you don't own a full ounce. You only basically buy, what, 10% or something. I can't recall off the top of my head. So, but the whole fact is that, again, this is just another area of interest that, if it's true, can only help the price of gold.
Well, even if they only had to keep 10% gold on hand for back whatever their sales are, whatever. Let's suppose I walked in with $100,000 and I say, I want $100,000 worth of gold, and say, well, we're going to have to give you $90,000 in paper gold, but you're still going to get 10% real gold. Now, that's not a deal, but compare it to COMEX, where the only thing you can get is paper gold, and if you push hard enough, there's only 1 ounce of gold. Last I heard, it was something like 400 or 500 ounces of paper gold for every 1 ounce of physical gold, if I recall correctly. But it's at least, I mean, they're not backing COMEX. It's not backed by 10%. COMEX is backed by a fraction of a percent. All right? it would be this again. What do you want? Do you want the gold where you got 10% gold, or do you want a fraction of a percent gold? What's better for you? What's smarter for the investor? And the answer is even 10% would be a huge improvement over COMEX. So we're seeing something here that, you know, we'll watch and see how this unfolds. But this is one of those stories that has great implication, in my opinion.
And I think also this is something that it might take a period of time. You're not going to have everyone rush into the gold market, you know, after.
It won't happen overnight.
You know, after a particular date. So again, no, I think it's positive for gold. There's interest. It shows that there's future interest in gold. And, of course, the separation of paper versus physical to some degree. So, yeah, no, it's a very positive. And it's interesting to see how this will all play out.
Another article here from the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And the headline is "Get Used to It." Economists see new normal of slow growth. Americans should get used to a new normal of slow economic growth. The median estimate from economists surveyed at the National Association for Business Economics calls for the American economy to grow 2.2% in 2017, up from a forecast 1.6% this year, and unchanged from the previous survey in September. They make these estimates, you know, pass out the paper hats and the horns and the rest, that sort of thing. We'll march around. They're predicting 2.2% 2017. I won't say it can't happen. I won't say it won't happen. But, you know, I am skeptical. All right? They're admitting to maybe 1.6% this year. The improved number is still lackluster by historical standards. U.S. economic growth averaged 3.1% a year from 1948 to 2015. Basically, throughout my lifetime, we've had 3.1% growth a year. Right now, our growth is half of that, and they're hoping to get about two-thirds of that for next year. I'm going to be surprised if they get the two-thirds, but it could happen. Business economists say Americans need to get used to slow growth. 80% of those surveyed believe the potential growth rate of the American economy will remain at 2.5% or lower over the next 5 years. Why do we have to get used to slow growth? It's probably, I mean, Alan Greenspan has talked about it. He says the growth in our wages, our standard of living, is a function of productivity. And productivity requires investments. And Greenspan says the problem is we're siphoning so much money out of tax revenues and whatever, and out of our own pockets to support government entitlement programs that we don't have enough savings left to fund improvements in technology that are required to increase our productivity, which is required to increase our prosperity. And what he's saying, these entitlements, which are promises to pay, debts, okay? He's saying the debt is keeping us broke. And these people are saying, oh, you got to get used to that. And I'm sitting back, I'm 71 years old, and who knows? My interests may not be as the same, certainly aren't the same as young people's interests. But I'm thinking to myself, those young people are going to sit back and say, wait a second. You mean we can't be prosperous in order to make good on all the idiot promises that have been made by irresponsible politicians? We're supposed to accept that? I can't afford to get married. I can't afford to buy a car. I can't afford to buy a house. Can't afford to raise a family in order to make good on government promises that were stupid to begin with and were made when I was a child. I couldn't even be responsible. I couldn't even know what those promises were or understand what they were. And now I'm going to be held responsible for them. I don't get a life in order to maintain government promises. I think this is going to be, they're going to be people that are going to sit back and say, to heck with that. And they may use language stronger than heck. All right? I don't think they're going to go along and say, look, sure, we want to take care of all the promises to the senior citizens. But what about the promises that the senior citizens and this country had to the young people? Just is to allow them to earn a living. In order to keep idiot promises to seniors, our young people aren't going to be able to have a life of their own that's worth, that's anything like what we might have hoped for when we were young people. Right? Business economists say, again, I read that, still economists see the risk of recession as remote. All right? 90% expect the current economic expansion to continue at least until 2018. Well, 2018's only, doesn't say whether they mean the end of 2018, the middle of 2018, or January 1st, 2018, which is just a little over a year from now. But they see the risk of recession as remote. I wonder what they're smoking. I won't say we're going to see a recession for sure in this next year, but I'm not going to be surprised. That would I've talked about it before, it would make a certain amount of sense. But 90% expect the current economic expansion. Is that what we're having? We're having an economic expansion. It's going to continue at least until 2018. The story goes on. There's more to it, but the point behind it, I don't think we need to accept this new normal. I don't think young people in this country need to accept living in poverty to make good on government promises that were irrational to begin with. And therefore, I am suspecting that the time is fast approaching when these young people are going to stand up and say, "I'm not paying these bills. We're not paying these bills. We're not going to pay off on all this entitlement, all the subsidies, all the welfare. Going to have to be cut. We want to live too." We'll watch and see how that unfolds. It'll be a trend perhaps in the future. Melody and I are out of time for today. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Todd, the producer. Thanks for listening.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.